Bible says in Psalm 19, let's look together at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. I don't know, but that's a me verse right there. I'm simple. And I thank the Lord that His Word speaks to a simple heart. We'll talk in just a moment on what it does, but it's a beautiful thing that it speaks to someone as simple as me. I'm just a simple, plain old country boy. And about the time I think I know something, I realize I don't know that much. I'm okay with simple. I like simple. But what this word is telling me is that the word of God is so perfect that it will take somebody like me and I can understand and know the things of the God of heaven. What a testimony that is. That he loves us so much and he's given and gifted to us a perfect word for the simple. So we'll look today at the perfection of the Word of God. First, what the perfect Word does is it compels the ignorant. It compels the ignorant. Before you knew Jesus, before you knew anything about His Word, before you understood anything about God, before you understood anything about the truth of His Word, you were ignorant. Amen? The Bible teaches us, and we've talked about this in our discipleship series, the Bible teaches us that we are, before we're with Jesus Christ and before He is our Savior, we are blinded by the God of this world. You start talking to people about being washed in the blood that don't know Jesus. I had one guy, he's like, you're part of a cult, right? Talking about washed in the blood. People think that sounds crazy. Well, it's because they're ignorant to the truth of the Word of God. And what that teaches us, being washed in the blood, is that my sins are cleansed and my sins are washed away by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't take a bath in blood. But it's a figure of speech in the fact that my account has been wiped clean, washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so when you don't know Jesus, you're ignorant to the truth of God's Word. You're simple to the knowledge of God's Word. But what it does is the truth of God's Word and the perfection of God's Word, because it's true, because it's pure, because it's without error, because it's perfect, it compels the ignorant to believe. And what a beautiful thing it is. Is that those that do not know and those that do not understand, they are compelled to believe because they see the qualities of the Word in its preaching, in its teaching, in singing, in your life, in my life. My testimony, I hope, would compel someone ignorant to the truth of God's Word, that they see something inside of me. There's something different dwelling inside of Him. So the Word of God, its perfection, it compels the ignorant. It makes them move. We see how beautiful it is when you see someone come to know Jesus Christ. And I'm not, when we say ignorant, I'm not talking about anybody know anybody ignorant? You know anybody ignorant? Right? There's some people like that out there. They just are. They just is. I'm talking about ignorance in fact that they don't know. Not a derogatory towards them, because I was ignorant to the truth of the gospel at one point in time. They're ignorant to it in the fact that they don't know. They don't understand the transforming truth of Jesus. They've never tasted and seen the goodness of God. They've never felt the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. They've never experienced worship in spirit and in truth. They've never grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They're ignorant to it. They just don't know. The perfection of the Word of God compels them to move. Why? But the Word of God is perfect. Its words are pure. Its words are, as this says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Just to stop there for just a second, all of these messages have come out of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms talks about the law and the Word of God so much. And you realize that when the book of Psalms was written, the entirety of the canon of the gospel of Jesus Christ had not yet been given. They did not have the entire copy of the Word of God. Yet the book of Psalms gives constantly and consistently praises upon the words of God. because they believed in its purity, they believed in its truth, they believed in its perfection, and how transformative the truth, the purity, and the perfection of God's word is. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing that we have and we hold a perfect word. And guess what? It's still compelling people today. It's still, we had Alden up here this morning. He's 17 years old. He gave his life to Christ. What a wonderful, how encouraging that it is that the word of God still compels people today. That people are still moved. Now, there's a bunch of people that are religious people. They don't get moved. They don't get touched. They don't have a feeling anymore. They can't shed a tear of joy. They can't shed a tear of sadness. But praise God, there's a 17-year-old boy that came to God's house, and he was compelled to move. Why? Because he heard from a perfect, a pure, and a true word. So what a wonderful quality it is that it compels those that do not know. And even me, growing up as a preacher's grandson, there was one time that I was ignorant to the truth of the gospel. And it just doesn't make sense. Well, you grew up in church. I've been in church. I started going to church 9 months before I was born. Amen. Been in church a long time. I was going. I never had a choice either. Anybody else grew up didn't have a choice on we were going to go to church or not. I didn't wonder. You've heard it said, preachers say it. I didn't wonder on Saturday night where it was going on Sunday morning. I didn't wonder about 4 o'clock Sunday evening where we was going to get up, what was going to get up and do. The race is on. The football game is on. The baseball game's on. We're going to church. I didn't wonder Wednesday evening after getting off the school bus where I was going. But you see, I was still ignorant to the truth of the gospel because I didn't know for myself, Brother Donnie. I have never, at that point in time, I had never felt for myself. I had never seen for myself. I had never heard for myself. It had never been revealed and realized to me for myself. But once I knew, it compelled me to respond. It compelled me to make a decision because I knew that there was something different about this word that I had before me. The perfect word, it compels us. It draws us and it compels us to make a decision. And unfortunately, there's some that they make a decision to reject the truth of the word. It's a sad and an unfortunate thing is that they have been compelled. They've been faced with a choice, but their choice is to say no. I mean, God's real, but I'm not good enough. You ever heard anybody say that? It's so sad that someone would die and go to hell because they say, well, God, I believe in God. I've heard the story of Jesus Christ, but I'm not good enough. You realize he's willing to take his righteousness and lay his righteousness upon you. Hey, when I was compelled to move, I moved. And he laid his righteousness upon me. And while nothing I will ever do is of any benefit, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Word, the one who existed before the earth, before the trees, before the clouds in the sky, he was with God, and he is God. That Word, I was compelled to respond to him when I heard the perfection of his word. So the perfect word, it compels the ignorant to move. And the next thing, we pick on the ignorant for a minute. We get to pick on the smarty pants now. It compels the ignorant and it challenges the instructed. We live in a world today, I saw something earlier today, it was talking about how we have only known, for over 100 years, about 100 years, we've truly started to think we know and understand the universe, right? Right? For about 100 years, we thought we began to understand the universe. And in this past 100 years, we've seen the greatest and quickest falling away from Christian beliefs and Christian truth to a scientific. Now, it's not even, people are not even atheists anymore. People are not, part of these cults and pagan religions and all these things. I believe in science. Brave people. Hey, science is a real thing, amen? Science is a real thing because God created it. Science ain't a real thing because this big bang happened and all these things fell in. The world is too, in its existence and in its practice and the things that the world does and the way animals act and the way animals breed and the way that animals do things and the way that animals migrate, the way that the stars are in the sky, the way the clouds move through. I talked about flying. You get above the clouds and you got rain clouds and you got other kind of clouds. I don't know what they do, but I know there's rain clouds. There's all these things in existence. The things of this world, they are created to perfection, and they're too perfect for me to say that they happen by happenstance. I'm compelled to believe that there is a God because this creation is so amazing. And it's not that we worship the creation. The Bible says that at some point in time that there would be a time where people would worship creation before the Creator. Amen? That's the day we're living in today. This is just the magnificence of what God's capable of. It's not God. It's what He's capable of doing. And guess what? He's capable of greater things than what we can see on this earth. But we've got people now, the intelligent. And it goes back further. Everybody's heard of Charles Darwin, right? He was basically the Antichrist in most homes when you grow up. Darwin. And then now we've got the religion of Scientology. Worship science, worship creation. You have people that are too smart for their own good. You ever heard that? Hey, I've known some smart people with zero common sense. You ever been around that? I mean, wouldn't get in and out of the rain. Kind of ain't got common sense. Smart as a whip on textbook stuff and all these other things, but wouldn't get in out of the rain. See, the Bible, it not only compels the simple. It only compels those that the world thinks are ignorant. It not only compels those that have never even heard about the word of Jesus Christ, it challenges the instructed. What do you mean? Those people out there that they believe that this world was created and on all these happenstance events, that people that believe that we evolved from apes, those instructed people. Guess what? Bible college students. There's a lot of Bible college students need Jesus. Amen? We think, well, they go to a Christian college. I've been there. I've seen that. I've not been there physically. I've been in the online chats with them, and you think, you need Jesus. The instructed, there's people, they go to school and get theology degrees, and they don't know a bit more about the goodness of God than anyone else. The instructed, people who have in their mind that science by happenstance created the world. Theology students with pastors with doctorate degrees. They know more about the Bible than I will ever comprehend in my life, but they don't know Jesus. How is that so? You don't have to take a long stroll on the internet to find some doctor of theology pastor somewhere that don't know Jesus. And I don't mean that being mean. I'm just saying there are some instructed people. Take Paul, for example. Now, he wasn't instructed in the Christian faith. But I mean his knowledge. His knowledge of the Jewish religion, the Jewish tradition, the Jewish faith. It's almost a shame that he didn't come to Jesus by reading of the prophets, prophesying the Messiah. How could someone so instructed not come to grips to understand that Jesus was the Messiah? He knew the law. He heard the prophets. He had read all the scrolls. He had been participating in all those things, but yet he didn't believe. But guess what the Bible will do to those instructed people? It will challenge them. Now, I'm not one, and I've said this during this series, I don't like the debating kind of thing. I don't see a sense myself. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm on the simple side. I'm not intelligent. I've heard some people debating the Bible, and man, they just, it's amazing. But also, there's a part of me that's like, it's not up for debate. The Word says what the Word says, and it is what it is. I'm not saying we shouldn't believe in apologetics, but what I'm saying is that it's really not up for debate. That might be simple-minded, but the truth of the Word is the truth of the Word. I believe what it says, and guess what? You let God get a hold of the instructed, those that think they've got it all figured out, those that have decided that they're God. That's almost the attitude that you get from a lot of people, is they're so stinking smart they believe they're God. You let the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. I can't change their mind. Guess what? God can. Now, it may be something I say. There's definitely beneficial debates. I agree. But the Word of God will challenge the instructed. Now, isn't it so true, though, some of us, the simple, I'm not trying to throw you in my group, but we're the same kind of people, right? We're just simple country people. Now, isn't it so true sometimes some of us simple folks, we get a little bit too big for our own britches ourselves, right? I'm just an old country boy. But I get in my mind and I think what everything that comes through Josh's head is correct, and what Josh decides is right. And I start thinking, I end up going from being ignorant to being instructed by Josh. Guess what? The Word challenges that. The Word challenges that in my life. When I get too educated in my own theology, when I get too educated in my own decisions, I get too educated in my own ideas, I get too educated, I like it using the Scripture in my own understanding. What does the Bible tell us? What does it tell us to lean not into? Thine own understanding. When I get too much into my own understanding, I start thinking, man, I got this whole thing figured out. I got this whole thing figured out. Guess what? The Word is so perfect, it challenges every bit of that in me. And if I will spend time in the Word, it will take my ignorance and turn it into knowledge, and it will break down my instruction and rebuild it in the truth of the gospel. The last thing that we see about its perfection, it compels the ignorant, challenges the instructed, and it chastens the initiated. We all need a good chastening, don't we? It's good for us. Now, there's a common thread in these three things that we just talked about. The compelling of the ignorant, the challenging of the instructed, the chastening of the initiated. It all requires somebody listening or reading this Word, right? You can't know the truth of it if you never hear and never read it. So this is to us saved believers in Christ. This perfect Word, it will chasten the initiated. What do you mean? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him as your Savior, if you're a genuine, true blue, born again believer in Christ, this Word will challenge, it will compel, and it will chasten you. It will correct what's wrong in your life. And it's amazing. You can dive into this Word thinking, man, I'm this great Christian, and I'm going to go study God's Word, and I'm going to find something that I can use to tell somebody else something. This is the life of a preacher right here. This is the inside scoop of the life of a pastor, life of a preacher, life of a teacher. I'm going to find something in here I can feed somebody else with. And you spend a good couple hours in God's Word, and it will tear you to shreds. Can I get an amen? Now, guess what? That's the life of a Christian, too. Say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. Guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you have a responsibility to read God's Word. And if you will read God's Word, you'll jump in looking for something, and you'll come out feeling like, man, that just tore me apart. Guess what? That's a great thing. We need chastening. We need it. We need it we need God's Word to deal with us and to make us face our sin and to make us face our wrongdoing and to make us face the right and the wrong of this world and the things that we need to be leaning into, the things we need to be following, the things we need to be promoting. We need it to chasten us on the wrong things that we're chasing after, the wrong things that we're desiring. It chastens the initiated. But all three of those things come from reading and hearing the Word. Now, especially the compelling of the ignorant, those that are lost, it comes from hearing the Word, someone explaining the Word, someone sharing the gospel. The instructed, those that are so intelligent and so smart, it requires someone bold, someone to break down everything they believe about the world, to tell them the truth of heaven and hell, to tell them the truth of Jesus who got up and walked out of the grave. But for the initiated, for those that say they're part of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, the responsibility to read this word is just as, it's more important than your responsibility to hear this word. You say, what do you mean? So many Christians go week to week, and the most exposure they get to the word is listening to their preacher preach. And guess what? That's wrong. It should not be that way. You can't worship like God intends you to worship if you don't come in here read up in your word. The only people that should come into the church and say, well, I just don't get it. I just don't understand. I don't read the Bible. Are the lost. Christian people have no business coming into the church, and the first time you've heard a verse, aside from somewhere on the radio or what you read on your refrigerator magnets, that shouldn't be your only source of the Word of God. It's quiet in here tonight. We should come in and be read up. I've been reading my Bible all week. You will not get what God wants to give you out of preaching if you're not spending time in your Word. But yet, we expect to, right? We've got to be in the Word. That's what, really, I've talked about just this thought, but that thought ties up every single thought we've given on the Word, is that a Christian should be spending time in the Word. And guess what? If I'm not spending time in the Word, you can probably tell it, but especially people that know me can tell it. My wife can definitely tell it. We've been busy the past couple weeks. I haven't had my study time like I'm used to. I'm about to blow like a top one day, and Shelby's like, listen, so thank the Lord for good women, amen. She said, you're wound tight. And I'm like, well, I know I am. It's because I can't study and pray like I need to. Goodness. When I don't get that time with God, I am liable to say anything. I'm liable to do anything. Man, how dangerous it is to walk through this world with the perfect Word of God available to us at every moment, and we don't even use it. I knew it was going to be one of them old-timey camp meeting, stomping in the sawdust kind of messages tonight. But it's so true. Is it not? Am I wrong? We need the word. Why else do you think? All the way back, hey, I commend faithful followers of God, the Creator, in the Old Testament. I commend them so much because they were so faithful and they had not been given the entire revelation of His Word. They were living under a law that required so many things. And it wasn't unfair to them. The law, don't get it mixed up. The law is a method of grace. A lot of people badmouth the law. The law is a method of God's grace to man. But guess what? These people followed that to a T. Was faithful in their prayer, in their faith to God. And they had never heard the name in the way we hear it of Jesus Christ. They had just been told that He was coming. They had never heard the stories of the miracles. They never heard the stories of the cross. They had never heard the stories of the amazing healings. They'd never heard the story of the resurrection in the way in which you and I do today. Yet they were faithful. We have no reason not to be faithful, other than we're distracted by everything else. This perfect word, it'll chasten you, Christian, but we need it. We need it. I like people to leave me be. I'm a small government kind of guy. Amen? People don't even understand that anymore because we're so used to what we got now. I like small government. I don't like people telling me what to do. I don't like people coming around telling me how to live my life and how to raise my family. I don't like people telling me how to do anything. Because guess what? This is the United States of America. But you know what? Sometimes that is our greatest greatest issue we have is that we don't want nobody telling us how to do anything. And we become rebellious people. And we won't even listen to the perfection of the Word of God. We won't even let the truth speak into our life because I know and I understand. I'm preaching to me tonight. This is directed at nobody but Josh. I get rebellious. I don't want nobody telling me how to do nothing. And one of our greatest freedoms have become one of the greatest difficulties and one of the greatest hardships on the church because we don't want nobody telling us how to do anything. Y'all thinking, why ain't you preaching this to the Sunday crowd? The Sunday morning crowd? I don't know. We like to blame all the people don't come on Sunday night, Wednesday night. But we need it. We need it. We all need it. I need it especially. People think, well, you got this, you're the pastor. You're a preacher. I hear that all the time. You're a preacher. Playing golf with my brother in Florida. He's like, man, I'm playing with him and my grandfather. It's hard playing such a frustrating game with two preachers. Don't you think nothing went through my head. But that's our attitude, ain't it? You're a preacher. And I have different responsibilities. I have different things to answer for. I have different, but guess what? We all are accountable to this word. All of us. And there's a lot of people like me that stand behind pulpits Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're not accountable to the word. That's been me. And I tell you what, when I get in my word and I let the perfection of the word speak and talk into my life, and I let that chastening, the chastening that I don't want, tell me how to live and tell me what I'm doing wrong and tell me what to do different. Guess what? When I walk into Mountain View Baptist Church, I can worship like God wants me to worship. So that's a lot of work. Guess what? The thing about it is it gets fun when you start doing it. When you start spending time in God's Word, you get excited. You get excited. Guess what? That sounds crazy. To those that don't know Jesus. You start talking about, well, yeah, you telling somebody about being a Christian. Man, I read my Bible an hour every day. I read my Bible for 30 minutes every day. I spend my lunch break and read my Bible. I go to church 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 1 time a week. I give money to the church. That's when most people check out. Well, this ain't for me. You do? Are you serious? Why would you do that? Because the pure and perfect and true word of God compels me to. And it tells me to and it directs me to. And guess what? The more I serve, the more I live, and the more God provides, the more happy I am to do it.